Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 193 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com.
Hello, and I'm Calvin Newman. He works there.
And I'm Andy White.
And yeah, today's episode, we're going to do some, kind of turn the tables a little bit, because normally what happens is Andy's sort of like interviewing me to a certain extent. So Andy's been working on some interesting projects around kind of video podcasting and kind of, I suppose, web TV, for want of a better description.
Well, yes.
So tell us a bit, Andy, about kind of like what you've been up to, some of those projects, what they entail, and, you know, we're kind of going to have a bit of a chat about the future of video content online and sort of how that intersects with... podcasting and the kind of the world of podcasting, which kind of is perhaps quite different, but in some ways has quite a lot in common with some of those.
It does, and I think it's interesting because what's happened with me, just very briefly, because this isn't really about me, it's more about the subject of video versus audio, is that, as you know, I started off doing just audio podcasts, and this is one of the first ones that I did. And slowly over the years, I've sort of done more and more video. My wife is a video editor, so I was in a good situation. Now we work together. And we're starting to do a lot of videos and video podcasts. Yep. And now we're linking up with a company here in Brighton called Latest TV, because they've recently got the license to broadcast terrestrially.
Yep.
So we'd be sort of bleeding over from the web into terrestrial TV, which is quite an interesting thing as well. But I think it was interesting because I thought it would be good to talk in this episode about the difference in the way audio and video content is consumed, because it's a very different consumption.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, it does often surprise me that kind of in iTunes, it's kind of used almost, you know, a podcast means a video podcast and an audio podcast, when I think that, you know, personally, the environment that I want to be in when I'm listening to an audio podcast, you know, perhaps it's a little bit more passive, perhaps it's kind of a secondary activity. Whereas video, you can't kind of, you know, be, you know, doing the hoovering while watching a video podcast, can you?
What are you typically doing when you listen to an audio podcast? When do you like to listen?
At mine, in most cases, I'm not like commuting the way that most people do, actually. Most of mine now tend to be actually through the Apple TV as background on like a Saturday or Sunday morning when I'm playing with the kids, or, you know.
Are these audio or video podcasts?
Audio podcasts.
So you play your audio podcast through your telly?
Yeah. And actually the bizarre one is where I'll bring it up on the Apple TV through the telly, turn the telly off and then put the surround sound on, that, you know, is the bizarre thing that I'm using the image but not actually. But yeah, I mean, it's certainly the way that I use them. But then that's only because I've got the Apple TV. Before that, it would be kind of the laptop going through, playing out the laptop speakers or the iPhone or iPod into the, you know, 3.5 jack into the stereo. So that's kind of the way that I do, whereas I know a lot of the listeners at least seem to be more kind of like they're doing it on their commute and that type
of thing. Or mowing the lawn.
Or going for a run or going to the gym and that type of thing, which is, you know, is cool and I kind of make sense there, whereas I prefer to probably listen to music, I think, in those kind of environments personally. But yeah, it's certainly a kind of a... It's not a sit-down, let's pay attention to kind of environment, or certainly, you know, it's... as a, just, you know, a distraction to other things that are going on, or certainly seems to be my perception of how podcasts tend to work.
But I see, I love listening to my audio podcast when I'm cooking, because I quite enjoy preparing food.
Yeah. It's a similar kind of process, though, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah,
it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a background thing, but I can still listen, about.
Yeah.
Even though I'm a bloke and I can't really multitask. But that's when I like to listen. Yeah. But, you know, you're right, a lot of people will listen to it as a background process. Now, video is very, very different, because I like to I treat video online now like watching telly.
Yeah.
I'm sure I watch less telly now. In the evenings, some of my family are in the lounge watching telly.
Yeah.
Some of them are doing... I've got a very big family. Others are 70. Doing other stuff around the
in
mansion.
In the west wing.
Yes, in the east wing.
Yeah.
And I'm at my computer so often just watching stuff, video stuff.
Yeah.
When I'm having lunch, I'll sit down in front of my laptop and watch stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
And I really like it. And it's a completely different consumption model.
Mm. And I suppose, actually, so it's the kind of... Although, like, name-wise, like a video podcast is quite similar to an audio podcast... Actually, it's probably more like just video on demand. And the distinction is that it's the subscription that perhaps makes it, you know, and actually subscribing to a YouTube channel is probably more like a video podcast than an audio podcast is, perhaps.
And it's interesting because some of the tools have changed as well. I mean, recently Apple has sort of cleaved away podcasts from iTunes.
Yeah.
And now we've got this, frankly, I don't mind, I shall say, it's a hideously buggy iTunes. I hope it will get better.
Yeah.
I'm currently using Downcast, which is much better.
Okay.
But the beauty of Downcast and Apple's new way of listening to podcasts on the iPhone and the iPad is that you're no longer bound to the computer. It will download them on the fly. If you're in a Wi-Fi area, it will just download them as it sees them, which is a much nicer way of doing it.
Yeah.
Beware, though, make sure you've got your settings right, because if you do it on your iPhone, your data charges are going to go sky high if you don't press that button that says
Wi-Fi
only use Wi-Fi. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. But it's interesting, consumption models, and they're very, very different. You know, audio podcasts, people ask me what the optimum length is. And my joke answer is always 21 and a half minutes.
Yep.
And they go, ooh, why? Getting the notepads out. They go, it's just a joke.
Yeah.
But the reason I say that is because it's like a typical commute time.
Yeah.
I've listened to podcasts that are over an hour.
A lot of them are as well, which I think... I mean, personally, we always try to aim for about 15, 20 minutes, and sometimes we end up nearer 30 than we do 20, but that, you know, kind of the intention was there. Mm. Whereas I think for someone to structure, like, an hour-long episode of anything takes quite a lot of... It either means that it's poorly structured and they've just kind of rambled on,
which is a ramble.
A lot of the case in some cases.
Yeah.
Or they've got to be supremely confident in the structuring of that. And then I then go, because like, I think, because when we made the move, what, about 3 years ago from monthly episodes to weekly, it was because what we were doing was we were doing an hour-long show that was made up of three sections of 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you go, well, actually,
why don't you just have
the 20-minute ones, because then they've got their own title, so people can go, actually, I'm really not interested in Twitter, so I'm going to give that one a miss. Mm. You know, whereas actually, if it's like three sections in one show, then it's potentially a bit different, isn't it? Because, you know, I'm really interested in the third chunk of that show.
Mm.
Well, you know, there's no reason for it, you know, like... Whereas on television, kind of people are more accustomed to that 15-minute ad break.
Yes.
They chose a half hour or an hour in the UK. Well, minus the commercial breaks if it's on commercial TV. So there's a reason or a little bit more of a precedent for why it should be that duration. Whereas because people are like consuming podcast content, it's as long as it needs to be, isn't it? Or as short as it needs to be. And they don't need to be combined in any way necessarily, because people
That's
are
right.
signed up for a feed and they'll just get the bits that it will come through to them automatically.
However, when we now look at video, we always say to people that keep it short.
Yeah.
Because it does need to be quite short and focused on video, more so, I think, though, than with audio.
Yep.
It's just the different way. And I think people need to think about, if they're thinking of going... podcasts, you need to think, okay, well, audio, video, what's the difference? Audio can be longer form, it's more of a background process. Video is more in your face, it needs to be shorter and more focused. I think from a psychological standpoint, videos have more immediate impact, and audios have a longer, more kind of slow burn, trust building type impact. But I don't know, what do you think? Do you trust people you see on video?
I mean I think it's a certain kind of like I always talk about, and I think that the mistake that some people make when producing content online is they're inclined to do writing because it's easiest. And like producing a podcast or producing a video is harder because there's a production element to it, which often they might not have the skills
to do.
And
with video, there's usually the equipment is a bit more pricey as well.
And all those elements that are there. But you've got to understand that like your bias for what is the easiest to produce doesn't necessarily reflect the bias of the consumers of that. Do you know what I mean? And I think that... You know, I think there's been a lot more launches of you know, digital marketing podcasts in the last couple of years, particularly from the States, of kind of people who are, you know, make money online type ones, which, you know, they have their place. Mm. But it's kind of, they're acting like podcasts are this brand new thing that haven't been around for like, you know, 5-6 years. But the reason that they're doing well is because there are people who, that's how they want to consume the content. And you've got to reflect that there are, and you know, those groups are potentially different sizes, and what they're looking for from a written piece might be quite different. But what then I try to do is kind of go, well, when we're putting together our podcast, can I take stuff that might have been a blog post and turn that into a podcast?
Yes.
Or if I'm doing a presentation that kind of could have been a video, if we record it when we're, you know, at that place, or I could do a screencast with the slides, can I make that work without those?
And I think you have to respect the format.
Yeah.
So if it's audio, it can work as a discussion. It can work as a panel. If you've got, I always say in audio podcasts, if you can get someone else in and have a discussion or an interview, that's one of the most powerful things you can do. And I think it works well as audio. If it's video, you need to really think about how you could turn that in.
And how, you know, in terms of those videos, what's that planning process look like for you, Andy? How, you know, if someone's going to go, okay, you know, I really think I ought to be producing some video for my business. What's the process that you go through with people to plan that?
It's funny, actually, because now we're getting more into TV work, and it works so differently. There's normally a few of you on, and often we'll get called in to do video work, and we are just the cameraman or just the sound guy. You don't really have to think about that. All you have to think about is getting it right. But I think if you're going to produce your own video with an idea of putting it online, you've got to go through a process. I would say some of it is similar to audio. You've got to think, what's the goal? What do I want them to be thinking and doing after this? The key thing is to keep it short. So I think you need to, I wouldn't say necessarily work from a script, but know what you're going to say, maybe bullet pointing.
Yeah.
Put it somewhere where you can see it when you're filming yourself or being filmed, or at least try and remember it and keep it short and sweet. And just make it as useful and as impactful as possible. Don't be afraid of... some people hate going on video. I mean, I'm the same. I don't like going on video. Mm. But if you can get over that, it can be a very powerful way, I think. If you can present the information in a concise way.
Yeah. And do you think it's like, should people be doing, you know, like screencasts where it's the slides? Do you think that's a good way of doing, they kind of, as a soft step into that kind of...
I think screencasts can work very, very well, especially if you're trying to demo something or show someone how to do something. Mm. And that can be a very nice way in, because then it's just the audio, really. They're not really seeing, unless you decide to put that little picture of you down in the corner, which I've done before, but... I think that's a very good way if it suits what you're going to be talking about.
Mm.
And of course, if you want to get more adventurous, a bit of a mixture.
Yeah.
But then that gets a bit more tricky.
I mean, I think in terms of production, like there's Camtasia, which tends to be the PC version, and I've used the Mac version, which isn't generally considered as good as ScreenFlow, but I think Camtasia is kind of, you've got the flexibility that you could share it with someone on a PC who was using it as well, which I think, personally, was a bonus to that when making those decisions. But yeah, certainly seems to be a good one there. And I mean, in terms of, you know, the costs of getting started in video, someone wants to have a bit of an experiment themselves. So is there kind of like any, you know, advice that you've got, Andy, in terms of getting started there? Because I mean, sometimes if you're doing it professionally, there's a temptation to buy, you know, top of the line equipment.
Yeah, I would say, see what you've already got. So many reasonably decent cameras these days can do pretty good video.
Yeah.
We did our first videos on a flip.
Yeah.
You know, okay, high def, but it was a flip.
Yeah.
The other thing is, don't ignore the sound. Try and get the sound good. It's a lot of these cameras that do video do rubbish sound.
Yeah.
So when you play it back, it'll sound very distant, very tinny. If you have got a mic and you don't mind being a bit more adventurous, use the mic as well, and then do your best to blend the sound with the video. Get rid of the video's original sound and replace it with a new sound. Yeah. It can be tricky lining it up, but go for it. Sometimes helps at the beginning to clap.
Yeah.
You can see your hands coming together, look where the spike is. Yeah. That sometimes can help. But
so, yeah, like they could maybe get like a USB microphone that plug into a PC and then record the audio using Audacity or something like that to record the sound.
Yeah.
And then when they're putting it into iMovie or whatever the kind of the equivalent PC one would be, they just remove the sound or mute the sound from the original one and overlay the sound from...
If you can't do that, then at least try and boost the sound if you can. I mean, you can like make it sound slightly fuller in things like iMovie.
Yeah.
Independently boost it, but don't neglect the sound, because research has shown that... the eye is more forgiving than the ear with video, which is interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, yeah, certainly the case, isn't it? It's that a small little bit of attention on the sound can make a big impact on the quality of the video. And I mean, there are, like, cameras out there, some of these flip-style ones that do have... I mean, we've used the Kodak ZI-8, which is kind of a little bit kind of old-fashioned.
Are they still
now.
Making that? Because I know the flip isn't made anymore, is it?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the Kodak ZI-8 is still about, but, like, essentially that's got, like, a 3.5, so, like, a headphone jack one, yes, so you can kind of do the... You know, you're not going to get, like, top-of-the-line microphones, but you can at least kind of put, a little lapel microphone that at least... ensure that the volume is pretty good, even if it's not kind of full.
Yeah.
Which I think sort of can, you know, forgive a lot of sins there on that side of things, which then means that the sound is already matched. Mm. But yeah, I mean, I think you can do, like, in terms of video quality, I think even the iPhone on a decent stand can kind of...
Oh, you'd
maybe not sound-wise, but, you know, certainly...
Well, I tell you what, if you've got an iPhone and you... got a big piece of blue tack and just wedged it, or used the one of those little
Gorilla pod type things,
and recorded the sound separately, it wouldn't be half bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, particularly with some of the more modern, the brand new smartphones that are out there. Because that's exactly it. I've got, like, a personal ZI-8 and I don't use it, right? Because, like, I have to remember to take it with me. Whereas that my iPhone, that's where all my video is produced, because, you know, it's just that kind of, 2 seconds, quick.
Yeah.
You know, and it's there and recorded then. I've not done too many kind of professional quality stuff on it, but I certainly think it'd be worth doing it. And I mean, it certainly seems to be that, like, even a lot of, like, proper big TV programs and films are made with, like, the kind of off-the-shelf digital SLRs now, aren't they, to a certain extent? So they're not ridiculous sums of money to be outlay. I mean, yeah, they put super-duper lenses on them and stuff, but for kind of a business video, there's a lot you can do if someone's got a digital SLR and a USB microphone.
Of course, you're someone that's had some video experience. So tell us about your video experiences.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we did a lot of the kind of screencasts and, you know, a while back when we had the premium podcast. And I mean, I think what was interesting in that was because we produced a huge amount of content over a relatively short period of time. And, you know, there were some interesting challenges to that in terms of kind of the volume of that and the kind of relative. It's a kind of weird one that, like, a 5 minute video or a 10 minute video could take a couple of hours to produce, and I was doing it on the kind of as lean as possible, you know, in terms of not doing super duper production on that, and even so, you still got an account for the thing that kind of always never surprised me, but I always underestimated, was time for, like, encoding and decoding type of thing.
Yeah.
In terms of, so it might be a kind of, oh yeah, I've recorded that video, that was really good, and then I've just got to import it into iMovie, and then you go, like, okay,
4 hours
yeah,
later.
Yeah, so don't underestimate that side of it. But it is I think it's one I would like to do more of, because it's just so easy, right? I'm at conferences. It's like a ZI-8. I could get a GorillaPod. I could have the lapel mic that's just a cable one in my pocket. You know, you could be set up in 2 minutes and get, like, decent video content. This, you know, certainly web quality, maybe not broadcast quality, but certainly really good to get that kind of content out there. It's just that experimentation stuff, isn't it? I think it's, except that the first 3 or 4 videos you're going to make are going to be ropey.
Oh yeah.
You know, and just go, well, you know, you've got to go through that process. But in terms of trying to make your first video perfect, you could spend days and hours and lots of effort and lots of research doing that. I think you're better off doing it, getting wrong, learning what you did wrong, and then sorting that out, rather than trying to perfectly plan it beforehand.
It's difficult to predict what's going to go really well, because one of my most successful videos is one I did ages ago.
Yeah.
I was very new to video. The sound was only coming out of one channel. I looked ridiculous because my hair needed cutting. And it was just a review of the SM58 mic.
Yeah.
And it's had loads and loads and loads of hits and loads. Yeah. It's had about 50,000 views.
Yeah. And that's just because the content is spot on.
Yeah.
And it didn't, or certainly didn't, you know, there's not lots of videos that provide that kind of information. And that's the value in it, isn't it?
I guess it must have been. I think I was just very lucky. I just hit it on that particular video. But I think the bottom line with this little chat is to our listeners, is certainly think about video. If you're thinking about audio, think about video as well. Yeah. I mean, you might want to do one or the other, or even both. I know people are actually doing both. Mm. But just be aware that they're very different consumption models, and you need to think about what suits what you're trying to achieve. Mm. Are you after some sort of quick impact? Is it very visual what you're doing? Or is it more of a slower burn? Mm. Is it more of a cerebral? You want to talk about it and give tips like that.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, hopefully that's some interesting insights into the world of video and web TV, and kind of potentially how that's different and changing from video podcasting, and certainly something that I think is quite interesting and something that I would like to do a lot more of in the future.
Splendid. What are we talking about next time, Mr. Neil?
Next, I'm going to be sharing, hopefully, it'll be a relatively quick episode, but talking about the changes to Twitter's timeline and kind of the visualization changes, the visual changes that they've made to that, and some general advice about how you can take advantage of that.
Sounding good. So we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing. Goodbye from me, Mr. White.
And bye from me, Mr. Newman.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.